Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the first half 2014 operating and financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday the 11th of September 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Oksana Nesisova. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us here today to discuss the tax production and financial results for the first half 2014. Now I'm more than glad to present you today's call speaker, Mr. Maxim Timchenko, Chief Executive Officer of DTEC, Mr. Sevalod Staruhin, Chief Executive Officer of DTEC Energy, Mr. Igor Kublitsky, Chief Financial Officer of DTEC, Mr. Vitaly Butenko, Commercial Director of DTEC Energy, and myself, Ms. Oksana Nersesova, IR Manager. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to some of information during this call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements on DTEC's future performance. By their nature, forward-looking statements are subject to numerous assumptions, risks, and uncertainties. Also, though we do our consolidated financial reporting in Ukrainian hryvnias, for your convenience of comparison as well as analysis during this call, we will convert our key financial indicators to approximate US dollars value using average central bank exchange rate for first half 2014 of 10.27 hryvnias per dollar and for balance sheet data central bank exchange rate as of June 30, 2014 as of 11.82 hryvnias per USD. Now I would like to hand over to Maxim Timchenko, Chief Executive Officer of DTEC, who is going to present key Ukraine's macro indicators and DTEC's key performance in the reporting period.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to draw your attention shortly at Ukraine's key macroeconomic indicators in the reporting period. Ukraine's GDP declined in first half 2014 by 3%, together with 4.7% decrease in industrial production, primarily driven by 8.7% drop in metallurgy and 18% decline in machinery. Driven by industrial production decline, electricity consumption decreased by 1.6% to 70.3 billion kilowatt hours. Industry consumption dropped by 3.1% to 31.8 billion kilowatt hours. At the same time, the consumption by households increased by 3.4% to 20.4 billion kilowatt hours. Consumer and producer price indexes increased in first half 2014 by 5.8% and 7% respectively. Salaries grew by 5.9% on average to the corresponding period of the previous year. 2014 is a challenging year for the whole country, and the tech is as its integral part. Almost one-third of Ukraine's energy facilities are concentrated in Donbas, as well as a significant part of the tech's assets. The share of the tech's assets located in Lugansk and Donetsk region in six-month production results was as follows. Coal mining about 50%, for power generation 34%, and for distribution around 36% out of total volume of electricity transmitted. Due to active hostilities and for the sake of employee safety, we had to suspend operation on some DTEC entities, but even though we made every effort to maintain the operation on our entities for supporting energy security of Ukraine. As of today, the operations are temporarily suspended only on Komsomolets Donbas mine out of 31 mines of DTEC. The operations are expected to be resumed over the next month on Komsomolets Donbas. The share of DTEC's mine in Ukrainian coal production reached 65% in August, comparing with 48% as of the end of reporting period, due to suspension of operations on about half of state-owned coal mines. The share in steam coal reached 76%. The share of DTEC's TPPs in Ukraine with thermal plant generation made over 80% as of today due to vertical integration of the company and high percentage of self-sufficiency in coal. Due to effective management even within such difficult times, our production and financial results demonstrated resilient position of the company against turbulent market environment. Total revenue increased by 1.14% in hryvnia terms, but due to devaluation decreased in US dollars, posting 4.3 billion US dollars. Adjusted EBITDA increased in hryvnia terms by 21%, but due to devaluation decreased in US dollars and reached 829 million US dollars. Net operating cash flow for the period came at 300 million US dollars. Leverage stayed at comfortable level with the net debt to EBITDA ratio of 2.07. According to strategic plan developed in 2011, the reorganization of the tech group included two stages. The first is transition from three to two-tier management model, which was already completed, and separation of businesses into three sub-holdings: the tech energy, the tech oil and gas, and the tech renewables. In 2014, first steps within the tech corporate organization aimed at separation of businesses into conventional renewable energy and oil gas production were implemented, among which is incorporation of new holding DTEC BV as 100% subsidiary of System Capital Management. Additionally, there were changes in the management. CEO Starukhin took the position of CEO of the DTEC Energy, which is our traditional business, and Igor Kublitsky was appointed as DTEC Group CFO. Now I'd like to hand over to CEO Starukhin, who is going to present the DTEC's operational results of first half 2014.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Despite challenging market condition, DTEC demonstrated stable operation results in the first half of the year. Starting with the coal, group coal mining companies increased production by 3.5% year-on-year in the reported period. Raw coal processing remained at the last year level, 14.2 million ton. Concentrate output declined slightly by 3.9% year-on-year. This growth is attributable primarily of the coal mining at Pavlograd Ugol and Obukhovskaya mine in the reporting period. Temporary suspension of operations in Komsomolets Donbassa and Sverdlov anthracite mine Chervony Partizan resulted in a slight decrease on year-to-date basis coal mining for the 8 months, approximately 2.3%. Now about the electricity generation. Despite general decrease of consumption in Ukraine, DTEC's electricity generation was almost at the same level, demonstrating 1.2% year-on-year growth, producing 24.6 billion kilowatt hours. Key driver behind production growth was more than double increase of electricity generated by the Botyovo wind farm. If we take the year-to-date 8 months performance, thermal power generation decreased the output by 5.4%. If we include electricity produced by the wind power station, the decline is 4.7% on the 8 months basis. At the same time, it's worth to note that the share in the Ukrainian thermal power generation of our companies exceeded 80%. Compared to 68% in the first 6 months of the year. In terms of the electricity transmission, we have reduced transmission in the reported period by 4%, down to 27.9 billion kilowatt hours, following the decrease in general consumption in the country by the industrial enterprises. The key factors including influencing this performance, which are worth to highlight, is actually purchases by the DTEC Power Grid LLC and Donetsk Oblenergo declined due to the current situation in Donbass by 4.4 and 8.4% respectively in the first 6 months. Electricity supplies by Krimenergo decreased by 5.7% due to lack of the seasonal demand growth and decrease in consumption by the industrial enterprises. Similar trend we have seen for the 8 months. The transmission decreased by 5.2%. A few words about the production of the gas. In the first half of the year, Neftogaz Vydobyvanie produced 346 million cubic meters of natural gas and 12.8 thousand tons of gas condensate, which represent year-on-year growth of 43% and 50% respectively. The key factors driving this performance were first commissioning of the well number 8 at the Semirenkovskaya gas condensate field, workover of wells number 60 and number 4 at Semirenkovskaya gas condensate field, and stimulation of hydrocarbon production and optimization of process condition for the operation of wells at Semirenkovskaya and Machovskaya fields. Year-to-date 8 months, the results continue to demonstrate upward trends, and we have seen increase in the gas extraction by 47%. Now, let me share with you some highlights on the capital investments. In the first half of the year, our capital investments targeted primarily restoring electricity supply due to the damages from the military actions in Donbass, as well as continuing to focus on the labor safety, efficiency, and assets reliability projects. For the coal production, in the coal production, we have invested over $170 million in the first half of the year. The company has been consistently introducing modern equipment and advanced methods, improving working conditions of miners and enhancing the efficiency of underground operations. Our coal mining companies demonstrated sustainable efficiency growth. Average labor productivity of DTEC mines amounted 73 tons per person per month, and demonstrating 7% year-on-year growth. And that result is 4 times higher than the average labor productivity of, for example, state-owned mines. In terms of the power generation, we have invested over $50 million in retrofitting of our power units in the period. Technical re-equipment of the units extends the service life usually by 15 years, increases the capacity, and expands the maneuverability range. Modernization also reduces specific fuel consumption for electricity generation, resulting in lower production costs. Since 2012, DTEC has reconstructed electrostatic precipitators as part of the power unit upgrades to comply with EU emission requirements. After retrofit in the first half of the year, the installed capacity of the power unit number 13 at Luganska station has increased by 35 megawatt hours, reaching 210 megawatt. At the same time, coal combustion efficiency in terms of electricity production increased by 16%. Due to the military operation in Donbass, Luganska station in July had to operate at a minimum capacity level, 2 power units instead of the 4, which were standard for the for this time of the year. This is due to the fact that the coal supply was interrupted following explosion at the railway. In order to reduce coal consumption, we had to decrease production output. Currently, the company uses alternative routes to supply coal to the thermal power stations, and first deliveries were already performed from our Russian mines, Abukhovskaya. In the reported period, we have also commissioned 35 wind turbines, successfully completing second stage of the Botyovo wind farm project. The installed capacity of the plant reached the designed 200 megawatt hours. In order to ensure efficiency and reliability of electricity supply, we have invested in electricity distribution companies $20 million to upgrade the substations and transmission lines. In spite of the military operation, Donetsk Oblenergo and DTEC Power Grid distribution enterprises conducted emergency work to restore electricity supply to over 500,000 homes. Now I would like to hand over to Vitaly Butenko, who is going to present DTEC highlights on the commercial operations.
Thank you, Selvat. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The first half of 2004 for DTEC commercial operations results were in line with DTEC's commercial strategy goals. But first, I would like to touch base on current trends of DTEC operations markets, both in Ukraine and worldwide. During the first half of 2014, the coal production rates in Ukraine were strong, which added momentum to our export coal programs. However, the global coal markets were quite challenging. It was primarily due to the lower economic growth rates, which negatively impacted the demand for the coal worldwide and led to the noticeable price reductions. Lower consumption rates led to the much weaker demand, and we saw a decrease in steam coal markets price in northwestern Europe. For example, AP2 dropped 7.8% year-over-year in the first half of 2014. And in the Asian market, ICR Asian market index dropped 10.3% year-over-year during the first 6 months of 2014. We also saw more bitumen coal being exported from Australia, about 7% increase during the first 6 months year-over-year. There were some good news, nevertheless. We experienced increase in China's coal imports. In the first half of this year, China coal imports went up by 9.6%. We also saw a substantial decrease in Vietnam's coal exports, about 65% during the six-month period. Year-over-year, it was driven primarily by the external restrictions of Vietnamese government. Increased demand for coal in the metallurgical sector to optimize production processes by using coke replacing technologies added a little bit more support to the global coal market. So despite of the fairly challenging global market conditions, we nevertheless managed to increase our export programs. Electricity generation in Ukraine decreased by 3.4% year-over-year and was at 85.5 billion kilowatt hours during the first 6 months. At the same time, electricity supplied by the thermal power plants went up by 2.7% during the first 6 months and reached 33.2 billion kilowatt hours, which is net increase by almost 1 billion kilowatt hours compared to the same period of last year. The factors that influenced the electricity demand in Ukraine were as follows. Electricity consumption went down by 2.7% and was recorded at the level 89.5 billion kilowatt hours. It was primarily explained by the drop in electricity consumption by the industrial sector, about 1 billion kilowatt hours. Also, about half a billion kilowatt hours drop we saw among the non-industrial consumers, and about 0.3 billion kilowatt hours were reduced among the utilities in Ukraine. However, we saw the growth in the thermal power plant share during the first 6 months. It was driven by the reduced share of electricity supplied by hydros. We saw the drop from 10.1% to 6.1%, which constituted roughly 42% year-over-year during the first 6 months. And CHPPs, we saw the drop, their share from 7.4% to 6.8, which resulted in a net loss of the production about 700 million kilowatt hours, which is about 11% year over year. For the electricity markets worldwide, and primarily those adjacent to Ukraine, the prices were stayed stronger compared to the previous year. So we saw the prices in Hungary grew by modest 1.4%. to 38.2 euros per megawatt. At the same time, the Polish electricity prices have shown quite a noticeable growth of 10% year-over-year and reached 40.5 euros per megawatt. It was primarily driven by the increase. The increase was primarily driven by the changes in the rules on paying for the capacity reserve in Poland. A few words about our export operations during the first 6 months of 2014. DTEC reduced electricity export by 6.2% year-over-year to 4.6 billion kilowatt That was during the period January through June. It was mainly due to increase in electricity demand in Hungary by 4.9% and Moldova by 47%. The positive financial effect of electricity export was ensured by the company's vertical integration that allows us to support the coal industry, which experienced a lack of demand and decline in electricity consumption in Ukraine. For the coal export, in first half of this year, DTEC expanded our coal supplies in foreign markets by 28.8% year-over-year, and it reached 2.7 million tons. Noticeable is the second quarter of this year when DTEC started direct coal supplies to ArcelorMittal Las Trujas, which is a Mexican subsidiary of ArcelorMittal. Growth in export, coal export, was driven by expanded cooperation with the countries that were net consumers of coal in first half 2013, which is India, Russia, and Turkey, and Morocco. We also entered new coal markets in Brazil and Great Britain. We have seen higher efficiency of export operations and higher share of direct sales to end consumers, up to 66% of export shipments. We have been arranging for anthracite supplies to the leading producers of pig iron and steel in China, India, South Korea, and Japan. So we have substantially increased the geographic reach of our coal export operations. We resumed supply of the steam coal of G and DG grade thermal coal to the Mediterranean countries as well. And to wrap up my side of the story, I would like to add a few words about the export after the reporting period. We have been we have been seeing substantial damages to the railway infrastructure in the east of Ukraine, where a significant share of DTEC's coal mines are located. And as a result, the transportation of coal, including the coals that were used for exports, has become more challenging. As a result, we have accumulated stocks of A-grade coal concentrate on mines, which amount approximately to 1 million ton at the moment. At the same time, we managed to increase the output of G-grade coal this year, which resulted in increase of the shipments of this product and increased share in export of G-grade coal with a stable monthly export volumes of up to 150,000 tons. Meanwhile, the activity works on repair of railways are being performed, which become even more more manageable due to the declared armistice. We expect that it may take up to 2 months to restore, partially restore the railway infrastructure, and upon that completion of the restoration, we'll be able to resume our coal exports, and shortly after we expect to ramp up the volumes to the levels of up to 300 to 500,000 tons per month. The export of electricity currently is performed within the terms of the concluded export contracts and remains quite stable within the last 2 months. And now I would like to hand over to Igor Kublitsky, who is going to present the DTEC's key financials for the first 6 months of 2013.
Thank you, Vitaly. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take you through the development of the key financial figures. Revenue decreased by $1.168 billion, reaching $4.3 billion US dollars. Main drivers of this decrease were as following. The valuation of Ukrainian hryvnia resulted in revenue decrease by 1.089 billion. At the same time, in hryvnia, for the first 6 months, we see increase by 1.14%. Decrease in volumes of electricity sales to final customers and sales of electricity abroad by 3.6% and 6.2% respectively, was partially offset by increase of coal export volume by 28%. Decrease of electricity supply tariffs, including investment components, by 10%. Increase of electricity volume generated by wind farms by more than 100%. And natural gas and gas liquid trading starting from 1st November last year contributed with almost 1.6 million US dollars growth. Despite export market price decline, our export revenues were stable at 492 million US dollars, which is 3% growth compared to last period. Price reductions were offset by volume growth. Consolidated group EBITDA decreased by 6% in US dollars and made 829 million. EBITDA in hryvnia for first half increased by 21% and EBITDA margin increased from 16% to 19.2%. Company incurred net loss of 738 million US dollars, mainly due to net foreign exchange losses in the amount of 841 million. Net operating cash flow increased by 51 million and amounted to almost 300 million. Reductions of earnings was fully offset by changes in working capital driven by decrease in trade and other receivables and increases in trade payables. Capital expenditures in first half of this year amounted to 313 million US dollars, representing 45% decrease compared to the same period of last year. At the end of the reporting period, group accumulated close to 387 million US dollars of cash and cash equivalents on accounts. Few words about debt. Group's debt profile stayed at healthy level at the and at the end of the reporting period, net debt to EBITDA ratio was at 2.07. Gross debt stood at 3.4 billion US dollars, representing 48 million decrease versus the beginning of the year. 68% of debt is long-term and 62% of debt is at fixed rate. Average debt maturity was above 3 years. In spite of turbulent market environment, the tech has strong liquidity position and sufficient amount of available credit lines. At the, as of September 1st, cash available on current account amounts to more than 360 million US dollars, and debt repayment scheduled to the end of this year amounts to 183 million, including the line. To summarize, we believe that our half-year financial and operational performance demonstrates general business resilience to challenging market environment. Despite current turbulent situation in Ukraine, vertically integrated business model combined with adequate liquidity position provides you with necessary financial strength to meet challenges with confidence. Thank you for your attention. Now I'd like to pass the call back to Oksana.
Thank you once again to everyone. Now we are ready to answer any questions you may have. We kindly ask all participants of the call to state their and company's name as well as give us some time in order to provide you with the most accurate information. Operator Matt, we are ready to have the first question.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please be aware that we will only be taking questions from financial institutions and not journalists or the media. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Galkin from VTB Capital. Would you like to continue with this question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Michael Galkin, please ask your question.
Good afternoon, and thank you indeed for the presentation. And I think the results are actually quite good given the circumstances. I have several questions. The most important are, can you elaborate a bit more on the tariffs? Why the generation tariffs were went down in the first half, and what's happening with tariffs in the second half, and what's the outlook? My second question is about the payment discipline. I noticed that the increase in receivables was actually quite modest. Do you foresee any difficulties in collecting payments either by your generation unit from Energorynek or by your distribution companies from actual end clients? And my last question is on the CapEx. Given the conditions and the circumstances, do you see any room for, you know, further maybe cutting the CapEx? And again, a related question about the liquidity position. If you could, you know, talk us through the next, say, 12 months, how you foresee repayments, and including the 2015 Eurobond. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mikhail, we are ready to answer your question. Thank you.
Mikhail, this is Vasily talking. I will try to handle your question on tariffs and CapEx. With regard to the tariffs for the GenCos, actually, indeed, we have seen reduction in the tariffs in the first half of the year. The key reasons are the following, basically. As you know, that the tariffs for the power generation companies set from the sort of remaining cash which is accumulated by the energy market after it paid the fixed tariffs to other type of the generators. So what we have seen in the first half of this year is two negative effects from that side is increase nuclear power generators tariffs, and we have also seen the increase of the alternative energy tariffs in the first half of the year, primarily because the tariffs are pegged to the US dollar or euro, so the tariffs has basically followed devaluation. In hryvnia terms, it's increased. And another reason is that in the last year, in the first half of the last year, so 2013, the share of the hydro production was much higher than it was in this year. I think it's like a 40% reduction year on year. And the hydro production is the cheapest. So the mix actually in the energy market has changed to the negative side. So this altogether influenced our first half of the year tariffs to be lower versus the prior year. However, if you want, with the recent months like July, August, we have already seen the increasing and upward trend, and our tariffs has went up basically to from 56 copex per kilowatt hour beginning of the year up to 80 copex already in September. So the trend is upward, and year end we expect it to be higher than the last year, roughly by 10 copex year on year, from 62 copex to roughly 72 copex. This is our current expectations on the tariffs on the power generation. Now, with regards of the capex, yes, we indeed expecting the further revision, careful of the capex for the second half of the year. Bear in mind that some of the capex in the first half of the year was related to the wind power stations Botiva second phase, which was completed. So there is no more capex related to the renewable energy in this sense, and we are also revising down the capex on the coal mining generation distribution, basically to have it not exceeding the first half of the year capex and probably to be on a lower run rate. So I think this is what I had to maybe to answer on these two questions. Now I would like to hand over to Igor Kublitsky, who will handle your other questions.
I will try to answer the question about payment discipline and liquidity position. As you mentioned, our receivables for for 6 months, and for 8 months increased moderately. For 8 months, it's 16.6% compared to the beginning of the year. An increase for household was not significant, just about 3%. Mainly the increase is influenced by utilities and industry. And total receivables as of beginning of September stayed at the level of 6.2 billion. We are actively managing our receivables on the distribution side, and the increase of tariffs, which we discussed, which started the second half of the year, will add decrease or help us to further keep the increase of receivables on the moderate level. If we speak about the liquidity position, we are proactively managing our liquidity and credit portfolio. You know the situation on the capital markets is tense, both for Ukraine sovereign and for corporates, and we are in discussions with issue of new finance, new instruments to cover possible challenges ahead of us. But we are proactively looking for our liquidity position.
Thank you. Operator, we are ready to have the next question.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, please press the hash key. Please be aware that we will only be taking questions from financial institutions and not journalists or the media. Your next question comes from the line of Christopher Loop from Prior Price. Would you like to continue with this question?
Yes, please.
Okay, Mr. Christopher Loop, please ask your question.
Thank you. This is Christopher Loop of T. Rowe Price. Thank you very much for the conference call and for the publication of your first half results. I want to ask you a little bit more, please, about the credit lines that you mentioned in the presentation. May I ask, what can you tell us, please, which banks might be providing these credit lines, and are they fully committed and undrawn? Secondly, I'd like to ask a little bit more about payment discipline from your major customers, especially from other companies in the System Capital Management Group. Given some of the problems that MetInvest has been having in production, is MetInvest and its sister companies still current, or could you give us some indication of how those receivables might be aging compared to first half 2013? And then I wanted to ask about, please, CapEx. Since DTEC plays a very important role in the infrastructure of Ukraine, especially in the eastern part of the country, has DTEC thought about approaching international lenders, supranational lenders perhaps, for assistance on CapEx? Thank you. Hello, operator.
Please stand by. Please stand by. Please continue to stand by. Your conference will resume shortly. Please continue to stand by. Your conference will resume shortly. Please continue to stand by. Your conference will resume shortly. You can now resume.
Matt?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, Matt, sorry, we were disconnected. So we got the question from Christopher. The first one was with regards to credit lines, so the other one with regards to the receivables. We are ready to answer the questions which we heard.
Hello.
Christopher, Lee, can you hear?
Yes, please. Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Deepak,
I want to repeat my last question, which may have been cut off, and that was with respect to the very important role that DTEC plays in infrastructure and Ukraine's recovery from the current separatist issues that it faces. And that is, I'm wondering, has DTEC considered approaching a supranational or international lender for assistance in the CapEx that it might need to spend to restore any facilities in the service areas it covers? Thank you.
Thank you. Just give us a second.
Thank you.
So the first question will, with regards to credit lines, will cover Igor Kubitsky.
Hello. I can say that currently we have credit lines at about 250 million plus, which is 100 is committed and the rest is uncommitted, with major international and Ukrainian banks. At about payment discipline may be tell.
Okay. With regard to the payment discipline from our key sister companies in the SCM group, which is I think what you refer is mainly MetInvest. We are supplying MetInvest basically the two core products is electricity by our distribution companies and the gas. And I need to say that until now the MetInvest is respecting the contractual terms and conditions and all the balances are current, so there is no overdue balances. Now, with regard of the CapEx question for Donbass, right now we have to admit that level of damages to our assets specifically, so our distribution grid lines, transformation stations, coal mines and power generation stations is not that significant. And we can and plan to cover them at the moment by rebalancing our current CapEx program with delaying some of the less critical projects for the future and funding these repairs. However, we expect that overall, after the unrest is over in Donbass, we expect that there will be a general program led by the national agency, we presume, will be focusing on rebuilding the Donbass, and of course we are expecting to participate in this big infrastructure program. I think our role remains to be seen, and we just need to wait when the situation is getting back to the normal. Thank you.
Thank you. Matt, we are ready for the next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Tanya Bulyani from ING Bank Ukraine. Would you like to accept this question?
Yes, please.
Okay, please ask your question.
Tanya,
please ask your question.
Sorry, I think that there were some technical issues because I've not attended to ask a question. Sorry for that.
You do not wish to ask a question?
No. Sorry, it was might be a technical issue. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Michael Gelkin from VTB Capital. Would you like to accept this question?
Yes, please.
Please ask your question.
Hi. I wanted to repeat the last question of Christopher, which I think is quite important, is whether DTEC may consider to raise money from IFC or EBRD organizations like that. In case capital markets remain unavailable, and given your importance to the Ukrainian economy. And I have two more questions. One is, I think you mentioned this, or if not, can you say how much of your assets are located in the Donetsk and Luhansk region as a percentage of each of the business segment? I understand coal, a lot of coal business, and but less of generation and distribution. I forgot my last question, but if you can take those two, please. Thank you.
Mikhail,
yes,
this is Vsevolod. I will try to handle your question. With regard to the raising funds from the EBRD IFC, I think need to remind that we are in a regular contact with these organizations for a long time and discussing various projects. And certainly we expect that the EBRD and EFC will be in one way or form participating in rebuilding Donbass, and we will surely find our role in this program. So right now I think it's a bit premature to discuss what sort of the program it will be and what our role will be. But again, I need just to reinforce that we have an open and constant dialogue with them. With regard to the assets, I can tell you that if you take, stable last year results, the share of the assets which are directly in the Donbass area impacted by the current unrest, it's roughly between 42 and 50%, depends how you count. For example, the Dobropolye-Ugol, which is in Donetsk region, however, it's not under fire, under attack, it's on Ukrainian side, and it's continuing to work business as usual. So if you exclude this, it's roughly 42% of our production output in coal mining, taking last year results, came from the trouble area, I would say. Now, with regard of the share of production of the power generating companies, it's roughly 30 to 35% of the output was produced in this trouble region. Again, I need to say there is a one station like Kryvorozhsky located in Donbass. However, it's been out of the fighting and it's in the area which is under control of the Ukrainian army. And in terms of the power distribution assets, we have roughly 35-36% of the output by the companies which are located and supplying servicing the customers, industry, or the household in Donetsk region. So roughly these are the figures based on output. Yeah, thank you.
Okay,
thank
and,
you.
And then just one follow up on the Euro 2015 Eurobond. You said recently, quoted on Bloomberg that you don't plan to restructure the bond. Is that still the case? Thank you.
Yeah, so far we don't have plans to restructure it. Yeah, we are right now just. To remind Mikhail that we are on schedule and meeting all our obligations with our banks, which are, you know, signed and agreed. Thank you.
Yep, Matt, thank you. We are ready.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Stella Cridge from Barclays. Do you want to accept this question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ms. Stella Cridge, please ask your question.
Hi there, good afternoon, thanks for taking the questions. I was wondering if I could start off just by clarifying what you said your cash balance was on the 1st of September. Did you say it was $260 million and that you had $183 million of debt in the second half of the year, is that right? The second thing I wanted to ask was, what cash or what currency are you actually keeping this cash balance in at the moment, just to get a sense if there was any risk from currency depreciation? The second question I wanted to ask was, have you seen any impact, negative or otherwise, from the FX, the additional FX controls that were introduced by the government recently? And the third question I wanted to ask was, what debt do you actually have maturing prior to the Eurobonds in April 2015? That would be great. Thanks.
Thank you, Stella. Just give us a second. Thank you, Stella. We are ready to answer your question.
Thank you.
As I said, as of September 1st, we have about $360 million US dollars in different currencies on our current account. This is according to IFRS, the currency, the cash and cash equivalents, which we show according to IFRS rules. Overall, if we speak about deposits placed above 3 months, which are shown as a restricted cash, it's about 600 million grivnas equivalent. Grivnas. Here we are talking grivnas, and overall about 600 million grivnas equivalent. Overall, if we talk about division in grivnas and currency, about 44% of cash and cash equivalents are in Ukrainian grivna. You mentioned about forex exchange risk, and we can say that our export proceeds in the first half were about 500 million, 490 if it is correct, and they cover our payables according to debt payables, including global lines, as I said, 185 million. That's about this. Thank you.
Thank you. We are ready to have next question.
Sorry, is it possible just to follow up? I mean, I guess I just wanted to make sure that you heard the part of the question just asking if it's possible to give a bit more detail on what debt is actually maturing prior to next year's Eurobond. And if I could just ask something general, I mean, what do you expect the impact on your financial performance will be in H2 of everything that's going on? I mean, I'm aware that DTEC workers are out there very actively trying to repair damaged facilities. You've already seen some difficulties on the payment side. I mean, could you give some general comments about, you know, how you expect financial performance to be in the second half relative to the first half?
Thank you, Stella. Just give us a second.
If we are talking about the payouts prior to Eurobonds, it's about $300 million US dollars. And about the forecast for the second half, I'm afraid we can't provide the forecast numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie, for the next question. Matt?
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Yuri Tsuravel from UniCredit. Would you like to accept this question?
Yes, please.
Please ask your question.
Thank you for disclosure call. I have basically two questions. Recently, the government has published the news that Ukraine has a lack of internal supply of coal and electricity. And the question is which impact that may have to your export operations. The second question would be by when you expect to finalize the organization, meaning the separation of the oil and gas and renewable business from the conventional energy business. Thank you.
Thank you. Just give us a second, please. Thank you. We are ready to answer the questions. The first question will be covered by Vitaly.
The situation with regards to the coal supply to the power system, basically it depended on several key factors. First, the supply rates by and large remain stable for G-grid. In fact, we are seeing even an increase in the volumes for our own G-grid coal production. With the anthracite type of coal, the problem is not with the production as much as with the transportation infrastructure, which has been negatively impacted by the events in the east of the country. As such, the disbalance that currently exists requires some imports of anthracite type of coal from other regions. Namely, we are looking into bringing some coal from Russia. However, due to the armistice that has been going on for the past few days, the works are underway to repair some of the railway infrastructure, which will allow us to lift above mentioned 1 million tons of anthracite type of coal from the warehouses at the coal mines. And they will become available for the power stations, which are using that type of coal. Getting back to the questions, what is the impact for the export? We have shifted the structure of our export from historically 50-50 G type of coal and anthracite type of coal to more to the G grade. We're currently seeing the surplus amounts available. Surplus vis-a-vis the rate of consumption required by our station. And as such, we will continue to export about 150 of G-grade. And as I mentioned in my opening statements, with the improvement and repairs of the transportation infrastructure, we believe we can ramp up to the 300 to 500,000 ton per month. And that will come primarily from the availability of the anthracite type of coal. So in a nutshell, we do not currently see a serious impact for our current export contracts for the coal due to the events happening there. Thank you.
Yes, the question on the reorganization will be covered by Maxim Sinchenko.
As I already said, we started the process that to 2011, and today we are in final stage and we're planning to complete full reorganization by the end of this year.
Thank you, Matt. We are ready for the next question.
There are no further questions. We now have one question from Stella Cridge from Barclays. Do you want to accept this question?
Yes, for sure.
Please ask your question.
Hi there. Again, thanks very much for taking some additional questions. Could you perhaps give us an update on the operational side? The first thing I wanted to ask was about Kiev and Ergo. I mean, I'd seen some reports in the press about some hot water supplies being cut off in the city, and I just wondered what you were seeing in terms of supply of power and heat there, and in terms of the outlook for gas as well, given the current storage levels and what you're seeing in terms of availability of gas. The second thing I wanted to ask was if you could provide us an update on the Crimea situation and what's going on there. And finally, in response to a previous question, you talked about the share of coal production and power supply generation that was in the affected regions, but could you tell us what share of that production is currently impaired in any way? Because I've seen some of the reports coming out, you know, saying that most of the coal mines are back up and running now. I mean, I appreciate the transportation issues, but from an operational perspective, if we excluded transportation problems, what percentage of all those facilities are currently running or impaired at the moment? Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Just give us a second, please. Some of the questions will be covered by Stella.
Okay, Stella, with regard to the Kiev Energo question. Right now, the gas limits for the Kiev Energo production are at about 70% of the required levels. So there is roughly 30% cut. And we are in discussions with Naftogaz, who is the main supplier of the gas, to increase these limits, together with local authorities of the city, who, of course, are supporting this. And at the same time, looking for the opportunities in the city to save the gas consumption. So with the minimum necessary increase, we are on negotiations. And in general, we are expecting the positive results when it gets colder. To be honest, right now, it's not that significantly affected because the weather is quite warm in the city. And we are talking just some part of the city lacking hot water, and that part is a smaller part of the city. Now, with regard to the Kremenergo, our business is basically business as usual. We are operating locally and selling, supplying the electricity, having the contracts locally in rubles. There is nothing, let's say, special taking place in the Kremenergo. And to remind you, Kremenergo is one of the three distribution companies located in the Krem and operating there. Also, it's the largest one. Now, with regard to your third question of the coal mining production, if I correctly heard your questions, in the Donbass area, right now, the only, as of today, actually, is only one coal mine, Komsomolets Donbass, is not working. And we expect to resume operation within a month's time and then slowly get to the standard sort of a production level by end of the year. With regard of the other mines, they are on average operating at roughly 80% of the capacity. And you should keep in mind that at some stage they may operate even bigger level, but the coal mining storage facilities can be full, and they have to be forced to slow down the production output because the railroad may not be operational to take it away. So actually, the railroad is a constraint of the production, quite significant. Thank you.
And if I can ask, just on the power side, power generation and supply, I mean, how close to full capacity are all your units running there?
Well, our power units, as I mentioned, probably on the lowest capacity what is operating is Luganska station, is operating the two blocks instead of four on average for that time of the year. And this is deliberately to save the coal stocks until we establish a stock supply and coal supply and build up for the winter season to safely go through it. And with the other stations like Zoivska and Kurakhovska, they are basically operating all available capacity and nomination by the central NERC, basically, regulator.
Vitaly Butenko, I would like to add to that, that what we are currently seeing, there are some problems with the non-detached power units, which due to the lower coal supplies, they're being underutilized, which resulted in much higher utilization rates for the detached thermal power plants. You know, currently, this month, we're seeing it's at about 80% share among the thermal power plants.
Thank you. Matt, we are ready. Yeah, thank you, Stella. Matt, we are ready to have two final questions.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sergey Makin from VRG Capital. Do you want to accept this question?
Yes, for sure.
Please ask your question.
Thanks. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks a lot for this call. A few questions, please. One is on the exports. We talked about the export of coal, and I understand that, but could you just talk briefly about the exports of electricity, how this business has been affected? Second is on the subsidies for the state mines and the reports that we've seen today, I think that potentially this can be sort of no longer available for them going forward. I appreciate it's just too early for you to give any definite answer on that, but could you just give us some thoughts on how DTEC's business can be affected if that proposal goes through? Now, I guess it's also too early for you to give any definite answer and a hard number, but any estimate of the losses that you have incurred from the military activity in the region, and also where the bottlenecks you observe and the key kind of problems that you have facing. For example, I think I heard that the transformer stations and transformators would be the main bottleneck in terms of not just the price of it, but the waiting time for you to get those replaced. And finally, Avdiivka. We've seen reports that you have restored electricity to Avdiivka as a settlement. Are you doing the same with the coking facility? Is it next on the agenda, and when is it happening? Thank you.
Thank you. Just give us a second, please. Sergey, thank you. The question on export will be covered by Vitaly, and the rest of it.
Thank you for your question, Sergey. With regards to the export of electricity, as you're well aware of, we are present in the three directions. We are exporting electricity to Moldova, to European direction, and to Belarus. The decline in the export that we have noticed during the first 6 months was driven primarily by the demand-supply dynamics on the markets where we are exporting to, as well as their, in some cases, introduction of the local generation capacities. With regards to going forward, we do not anticipate any negative impact with regards to the events at the east of the country for the export volumes, and we are staying within our planned volumes parameters. Thank you.
Yep. Questions?
Yes. Let me handle the other questions. With regard of the subsidy to the state mines, well, to be honest, I don't have on hand this information how it's been announced that there is a possible decision to stop subsidizing the state mines, which are constituting quite a significant share, like over 30% of the coal production in the country. But just a general answer could be that without subsidy, a big portion of the state mines will be not sustainable and they cannot operate. And as a result, you will see reduction or contraction of the volumes produced by the state mines, which will provide opportunity for DTEC to grow and invest more in the coal mining business to grow our output. So this is sort of a, you know, general answer to that question. Now, with regard to your question to the losses to our infrastructure facilities, as I mentioned before, is not that significant, and we can still manage to cover it by just redistributing our CAPEX programs. So far, we have not identified some long-term to make, let's say, pieces of equipment, transformators or generators, which need to be completely replaced for the new ones. So far, we are managing to repair the damaged ones without necessity to order completely the new one and to wait for the long time. Some smaller pieces which actually are not repairable, we are replacing them from the stocks or from some of our other distribution companies. So in general, I need to say that we are doing quite fine in this respect. With regard to the business interruption impact on the business, again, we are calculating this. This is sort of the lost margins on a reduced output. On some instances like coal production, that can be true, and we lost some of the margins. However, we may gain some in other segments like a power generation, which is operating above the normal share in the power generation, so well above 65-70%, 80% and more. So, to be honest, we have to wait until end of the year to see overall balance, how much we, let's say, lost profit margins on one business segments and to what extent we were able to compensate on the other one. So I cannot give you any precise figure right now. And the last question was with regard of the restoring of Avdiivka plant and so on. Clearly, we have a list of the damaged facilities and households in the Donbass, which is handled by our specially, you know, set up task force, which is in close contact with all the key industry and the governor, and we are clearly having a priority list of getting connected back to the electricity all the industry, especially those which is producing. And SCM companies, industries are clearly on the priority list as well. So, to best of my knowledge, right now we are connected, all of the industries which were on the short list to be connected by now. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sergey. Matt, we are ready to have final question.
Thank you. Your final question comes from the line of Yuri Suravel from UniCredit. Do you want to accept this question?
Yes, please.
Okay, please ask your question.
Thank you. The last question would be referring to the answer of Mr. Timchenko related to the reorganization. Could you please confirm or clarify that after reorganization, DTEC is anticipating to establish the reporting system on the level of each subholding, renewables, oil and gas, and conventional business, which would mean that by the end of the year, when the reorganization will complete, the oil and gas and renewables will then be out of the parameter of the new IFRS reports. Thank you.
Thank you. Just give us a second, please. Yuri, thank you. Maxim Timchenko will handle with the question.
Right. As probably you're aware, we are staying under one holding company called the Tech BV. So our main reporting will be about results of the Tech BV, where we consolidate three new companies. But at the same time, we have another three financial statements for the Tech Energy BV, the Tech Renewables BV, and the Tech Oil and Gas BV. And we are planning to issue these four sets of financials based on the results of 2014. Is it clear?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. So this was the final question, and I would like to thank you all that you joined today for our call on production and financial results. The record of this call will be available on our website, dtech.com. If you have any questions, do not hesitate to contact me, the Tech IR officer, directly. Please keep in mind that we are always available to have one-on-one meeting, conference calls, or site visits to provide you with the most accurate, actual information on the Tech. Have a nice evening.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.